Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
We talk about all things Star Wars. My name is James.
My name is David.
I'm Colin.
And hello, everybody. How are y'all doing today?
doing pretty well. I am excited that we are, because we used to do just one episode a week, but now we're getting into the mode of doing more than one because, you know, during the week, something else can happen and we'll totally miss it and we'll be behind, but this time we can just be like on top of it. So I'm excited.
Yeah, I find it funny that y'all recorded... which, by the way, good episode, David and Sam and Brooke and Ray. That was an awesome episode. Thank you. It's funny that y'all recorded and then more news dropped like the next day or a day of. And even stuff dropped today. So it's just one of those things that we always want to be just like, I don't know, always on. And we are live right now. And hopefully maybe somebody will jump on and maybe want to talk with us. If not, it's okay. We're still having a great time. So you sent us a link yesterday, David, which cracked me up. And it was that Pedro Pascal has said they have not started filming Mandalorian season 3. And I think we've all been under the assumption that maybe they have like started, but I guess they're still trying to finish, or they were still finishing Boba Fett. I mean,
so here's my thing with that. Again, you know, actors can lie. I mean, there has been a lot of like
Star Wars
people. So there has been a lot of, you know, people saying that, you know, that they have been filming, and there's people that, you know, have been saying that they haven't. And then you get Pedro Pascal saying that, you know, officially we have not been filming. Those were his exact words. So there's a truth and a lie there, I guess. I mean, I guess you can take that as you can, but hopefully they have been filming because all the rumors that have been surrounding it have been kind of exciting. I mean, I know we talked about possibly there being some of our Kashyyyki and friends on the show, like of some Wookiees. I mean, how cool would that be to see like a tall, and I don't know. I really hope they have been filming, but it makes sense if they wouldn't because they've been doing Book of Boba Fett. So,
yeah, I think that's where the kind of the confusion comes from, because a lot of people assume that the Book of Boba Fett production was the Mandalorian production. But it seems like it's all Boba Fett, and a lot of Boba Fett news kind of dropped today. And so we talked about it on the previous podcast. Say again?
Oh, I was just thinking of what you said. Then that means that there might be a Wookiee that might show up on the Book of Boba Fett then. And there is a bounty hunter Wookiee in the comics. That is canon. Right. So that might be something they might be referring to.
Right. And on a couple podcasts ago, I showed the picture of the emblem of the working title Buccaneer. And on that picture, it looks like there's a Wookiee there on one side and an IG droid, I believe. But I got the video right now. I'll play it, and I guess everyone can judge for themselves.
Have you shot a third season, or are you doing it now?
We haven't shot a third season, so confidentially...
Are you lying?
No, maybe I shouldn't.
Oh, no.
So anyway, let me tell you what's going on.
I love that. I love it because even McGregor goes like, oh, you're not supposed to be talking about this, man.
Right. It seems pretty genuine. It seems really genuine, I think. I don't think Pascal's lying like what Colin kind of insinuates there. But see, the thing is, Pedro Pascal's going to go shoot Last of Us for 11 months. So he's going to do that real soon, I think next month. So he might be unavailable for a while. But the luxury of being the Mandalorian is you have your face covered. So he might just be doing voice work. So...
Or the best idea would be that they are spending all this time finalizing, and because we're going to talk later, and I think we should just go ahead and say it, that Boba Fett has stopped filming. Like, they have ceased filming on Boba Fett. They are completed. They did it. It's done. So from now until December, we're getting post-production of that. So I think Favreau, Filoni, Rodriguez, and Kennedy's busy now because she's also working on she's getting Indiana Jones going as well. So I think everybody is kind of focused on what they should be focusing on right now, just to get the right product out. Kennedy is trying to get the other Lucasfilm projects going, and then Filoni, Favreau, and Rodriguez are trying to finish Boba Fett. I think after maybe, like, I think in August or September, we're probably going to start to hear that, oh, we're going to start production of Mandalorian here pretty soon, because at that time, I'm pretty sure post-production of Boba Fett will be completed. Principal photography of Indy should be done by around that time, and so then Kennedy could say, okay, let's all focus on Mandalorian. I mean, so let me ask this question: do you think that Favreau already has season 3 completely written already, or has he kind of held back a little bit? What is y'all's idea? Do you think he's already completed the season?
I think he completed a long time ago.
Because John Favreau is a very planned out type of person. Like, I mean, from of what I'm thinking about from his work, most of his work, it's all planned out. He knows exactly what he's going to do. And I think, like, he and Dave Filoni, which Dave Filoni has, I mean, he always has future plans for, like, from the first episode, like, he knows exactly what's going to happen, because of he always knew that Ahsoka and Star Wars Rebels, like, he knew Ahsoka and Vader would end up eventually fighting down the road. And I mean, and I guarantee that's the exact same thing that Jon Favreau is thinking. Like, he knows exactly what's going to go down. And not only is it going to be the year of Star Wars next year, I just wanted to comment more to what you were saying, but it's going to be the year of Lucasfilm as well, because you've got Indiana Jones 5, you've got the new Willow series coming out with Warwick Davis, and that is just a bunch of stuff in Lucasfilm, and that's going to be exciting to see.
And then on top of that, hopefully season 3 of Mandalorian. I mean,
hopefully that's because,
you know. Yeah, Grogu has become the face of Star Wars. You know, Grogu is Star Wars now. So they have to have him ready to go by, you know, next year, December.
Well, if that's true, then here's a question. How is that going to play into that world? Like, is Luke Skywalker going to be like, all right, I'm done with him, here you go, and he just drops him off? Is Mando going to have to go to find Luke and, you know, get him back for some reason or something like that? Cause, like, I'm just curious on how he's going to come and play into, like, the future seasons, because to me, like, I know it wasn't goodbye, but it really felt like goodbye. Was just so sad. And then just to bring him back and be like, oh, hey, I'm not really gone. But, like, that moment of where he is picking up, where Luke's picking up Grogu, and then Mando's just standing there crying, like, pretty much of, and just watching him walk away in such a dramatic way, that felt like a goodbye to me. So if they do bring him back, it has to be it has to fit into the plot. Like, it has to fit into the plot. They can't do it just to do it. Like, it has to fit into the story.
What do you think, David? Do you think we've seen the last of Grogu, or do you think we're going to see him again?
Yeah, there's no way that's the last of him. He makes too much money, first of all. And then second of all, I think he's a great character. And then to see him actually grow up, I actually kind of had a vision today thinking about how they could lead into season 3 of The Mandalorian. I was thinking, what if we show Grogu as an older version of a species, and he's telling like a story in front of a campfire or something, and he's like being asked a question by his Padawan about what does he remember, what's the oldest thing he remembers, and then he tells a story of maybe Mandalorian season 3.
Well, so, I'm surprised Lucasfilm hasn't hired you yet. That's a good way to
go into
a season.
I really want to see old Grogu. I want to see what he looks like. I want to hear him speak, first of all.
I want to see old Grogu, but I want to see teenage Grogu. I want to see him go through those years like room clean. I will not know. Of just being in that like teenage mode, which they end up in custody court to determine.
Grogu. You never know, that might happen. I could see both sides of Favreau, Filoni, and Kennedy saying, "This is this story. It's done. The story arc of Mandalorian, of, you know, Din Djarin becoming the person he is, has been complete. He completed his mission. Grogu is now with who he needs to be with. So now it seems like, okay, now here's the rest of the story, which has nothing to do with Grogu. Now this is the story of Din Djarin and the Mandalorians and Mandalore." I think from a storytelling standpoint, that is like the smart thing to do. But like David said, he makes them a lot of money. I mean, yeah. I see three or four toys in the background of David right now of Grogu.
Yeah,
it's almost like they were like, he has to come back. But at the same time, if he doesn't come back, I get it. I get what they're trying to do. Where we had two seasons figuring out what to do with this thing. And now it's like, okay, now here's the next chapter of Din Djarin.
So kind of tracking back, like I said before, like I mean it was a goodbye, but honestly, if it fits into the story, it'll work. It's just you can't force him to come back, because then it's not going to feel natural, and then, you know, it will feel like they're only doing it because they want more money off that character. And I don't want them to do that.
Well, David had said it already, where they're going to probably set all these shows up to be the, you know, Avengers, to where the end game is everyone going against Thrawn and his army. Right. And it would just be very appropriate that Grogu comes back to help them out. You know what I mean? Like Grogu comes in with his lightsaber ready to save the day. Like that would be the best thing for everybody to see.
And I would freak out
if I saw that.
Something that maybe like a great way for him to come back would be maybe in the Ahsoka show, where Ahsoka's doing her thing and then she runs into Luke and she sees Grogu, like something like that. Gosh. But honestly, you're right. It would be awesome to see like for a while, like we do not see Grogu, and then like in that big, like huge, like battle that's going to happen with Thrawn, like for, you know, a season or two, like we don't see him. He comes back, he's kind of trained, he's got a lightsaber, he's got a new outfit, like he's grown up a little bit to where like his legs are kind of taller so he can actually like run and like do action stuff. Like that would be cool.
Yeah, he pulls a Luke like at the end of season two, he saves the day.
Yeah, like that would be awesome. But now
that would be so cool, man. Like
now correct me if I'm wrong, but I think I remember somewhere where they said they really didn't have the intention, or they weren't thinking of actually having him talk at any point.
I've never heard that.
No? Okay.
I don't know.
I might have heard that somewhere. I forget where I heard
little,
it. But
that little creature just took the whole world by storm. You know what I mean? Like, it would be ridiculous not to bring him back.
No one knew that was going to happen, because I remember we talked about on the podcast of where it was a leak that we were going to see the species of Yoda, and we were like, oh yeah, like we might, you know, see the planet of the actual origin of the species. And then that first episode, the very end, he like takes the sheet off and the thing opens, and then he's just looking up and you're like, money. like completely gone. Like, I mean, and then
all the Disney executives.
Yeah. And it's not only that, it's just like, if you're bringing in an acute like character or something like that, you know, it's kind of a hit or a miss, because of, are you just adding it to, you know, to add it, or is it going to add to the story? And they added a lot of mystery to that character, and that really drew people in. I mean, and especially in season two, where like Ahsoka is like talking to him, but she's not like she's doing the force communication. And then you hear the line of Ahsoka's like, yeah, so. He was there during the purge, and like somebody took him out, and then he kind of blacked out, and then that just like grew more mystery to the character, and we were all blown away. We were like, okay, well, now I want to see a flashback scene like of that happening, but who saved him? And then they announced Bad Batch, and everyone thought it was going to be Bad Batch. And then I was just like, okay, well, it might not be.
Oh yeah, you know, I forgot about that rumor that was going around. That's right. We did think the Bad Batch.
And and Sam told me that that it would be cool, but for that type of moment, you would think that of a big moment like that, they would save it for live action. So if they do, so kind of going to what David said about of them doing like the opening scene of, you know, of maybe like Grogu being an older master. Well, how about they do a flashback scene like the first, like in the Bad Batch where like they do the first, like, 10 minutes of like Order 66. Why not do that with the first episode of season 3 of The Mandalorian and kind of showing like that kind of backstory, and then we maybe get a glimpse of who it was, and maybe it's someone we know or someone we don't know, and that adds more mystery to Grogu, because something that has always been surrounded by Yoda is mystery. His origin and his planet, and they added that to Grogu as well. So I hope they keep that tradition going, because it's drawing more people in to that character. I just don't him to be a money grab because he's a baby and he's cute. I want more mystery. I want more stuff about that character that's going to draw more people in. So,
but I trust Favreau and Filoni to do that. And, you know, you did say a flashback, like that would be so cool if that was the start of season 3 of Mandalorian. And then you see Luke there and he's like, what are you thinking about? And then you kind of see Grogu just like on his own. And then he looks off into the stars. And then we just go straight into, now we're watching season 3 of Mandalorian. So we know that Grogu's thinking about, you know, Din Djarin and everything. But I've been saying it for the longest time that that's going to be his downfall. Like that's not good for a Jedi. And we all saw that with Anakin. So I have a feeling like, that's going to be huge of Grogu still wanting to be with Din Djarin. So we're going to have to wait and see. And I'm excited. And I know they're going to explain it. They're not just going to be like, don't worry about it. Like, I know y'all talked about it with the last episode of how's Omega going to play into everything? Like, what's her story? Are they going to say anything? And I'm like, and I wanted to say, like, yes, they're going to explain her. Like, why do y'all... like Sam and Ray and Brooke, not knocking them, but they were like, yeah, I don't, it's like, she's like, I'm still trying to wait and see, like, is what's so important about her? I'm like, they're building the story, like, you don't just like tell you right away who she is and why. And I don't know, like, did you feel this last episode, what was it, Decommissioned, was it like a filler, or did you think it's pushing the story even further along? I know, David, you hate the word filler, so, but I mean, did you think like that was what was going on?
No, me personally, I don't think any of this is filler. I think this is a complete story written out, and they're just taking chunks of it, and we're watching one huge movie, but they're releasing it in sections. So I mean, people want to say that, but I don't personally think that. I'm enjoying it. I haven't ever seen an episode and thought this is not correct, or that they shouldn't be showing this or whatever. It's filler. I mean, everything counts, I think. I mean, there's stuff in the background. There's stuff in the foreground. Character interactions. I mean, there's all kinds of Easter eggs everywhere. I mean, that's the luxury that Star Wars has, that tremendous depth of story and history.
Yes.
What you got, Colin?
So I, and I 100% agree with David, because of that first episode of The Bad Batch was like, it blew everyone away. I know a lot of people were like, oh my gosh, it feels like a movie. And then they went to the second episode and people were just like, oh, like, it's slow, it's boring. I'm just like, you cannot have a show that deals with the plot 24/7, or it's going to be a short show, unless you do it like what they're doing with Marvel, where like each season's like 6 episodes and they're like an hour long. Then you can do that. But if you're doing a show like the Clone Wars, or you're doing it like Bad Batch, and each episode's, you know, going to be around half an hour or 20 minutes, then you're going to have to extend the story. And what's great about the show is that we are seeing some familiar planets, but we're going to bunch of new planets, seeing new life, new creatures, new characters that add to the Star Wars universe. And people just want to deal with the entire like plot 24/7. I'm like, well, we have to build up these characters and they have to go on random adventures, and that's going to add to the plot. So I don't like it being fulfilling. I think some episodes are like, you know, yes, they are going on a random adventure, but you know, near the end, it builds up to, you know, actually adding up to the plot, like of the episode, that happens with the Rancor, like that did some character development for Omega. And actually every single episode is doing a bunch of character development for Omega. And I just remember like of them being like, hey, you know, you're on the run now. Since you're on the run, like you're going to be working for me. And then we get this new episode and then we get, and we get Rafa from season 7 of the Clone Wars. And then, you know, that very end, then they start talking to that figure. And I know that's like buzzing like around and people are saying it's Ahsoka and stuff like that, but it's a random adventure, but it leads to the plot. And I think that's what the show needs to keep doing. It can't be the plot 24/7.
I also think a lot of this goes back to George Lucas's upbringing, you know, because he was a huge Flash Gordon fan. He was a big, you know, he liked those Saturday morning, you know, serials where you watch and you see an adventure and this is what's happening and then our heroes are in danger and then at the end of it you have to wait till next week to watch the next episode. I think Filoni is like, this is George Lucas's, like, this is what he always wanted to do with Star Wars. And yeah, you're gonna have an episode where they do this and it's like, all right, you need to go on this adventure. So you're like, all right, we're gonna go on this adventure now. And I don't know, for me it's fun. I'm digging it. And like you said, like David said, each episode there is something that's progressing. Like the last episode, Omega picks up that awesome weapon and she can't use it. And then in this episode, she's learning at the very end. What does she do? She goes, pop, pop. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I said an explicit word. You don't want to know what I said. But I was like, yeah, man, that was awesome. You know, when she starts shooting the thing. And the sisters coming back, I thought was genius because now we're pushing everything together. Okay, so here's my prediction of who it was, the figure at the very end, okay? Correct me if I'm wrong. Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. Infest Nest was a woman the whole time. Yes, no. Like when we first heard about her,
that would be a great
tie-in. Okay, when we first heard about Infest Nest, we all thought it was a guy. Nobody thought it was a girl until she took off the helmet. Then we were like, oh wow, it's been a girl this whole. She puts that mask on, so nobody knows what she actually sounds like. So part of me at the very end when they were talking to her, I was like, oh my god, if it's Infest Nest, that's gonna be the coolest, like, because Infest Nest was kind of doing some like back, like she wasn't the part of the rebellion, she was doing like the dirty work for the rebellion. She was doing like the illegal stuff that you shouldn't be doing, but she was doing it for the right cause. Part of me wonders if that's what's going on. Do you think it was Infest Nest, or are we all just saying it's Bail Organa? Because that's what we said in the podcast.
So I like that idea. That's a really good prediction. I haven't seen anyone really talk about it. And the reason why it's why, you know, that might be the case because of we go into the territory of people always kind of predicting what's going to happen. But what's nice is that, you know, there's always that chance that it might be a wild card like her. Yeah. Like that would be a great character to bring in when everyone's expecting like Bail or Rex. Rex would fit more into the story because of now we're kind of getting into the time where we know Wrecker's gonna have to get that chip out of his head. Because he's banged his head like every single episode. Like every single episode, he has been in a crash or like he's been knocked out or like he's banged his head on a bar. And I was just waiting for that moment to where he was going to say, good soldiers follow orders. And
well, he did say it. I mean, he said it, but then he snapped out of it.
Yeah. So right now I'm thinking it's like a virus. It's slowly going to corrupt him. And then they are going to have to like figure a way out to kind of get that chip out of his head, and they're maybe going to try and track down Rex, and then they try and they don't find him, and then Rex ends up finding him and being like, hey, I'm here to help. And then we're going to find out that maybe Bail told him or Rex was that figure. But I think, you know, having the sisters come back, that was a great tie-in. I mean, I personally wasn't like a big fan of the sisters because of like of all the decisions that they made. And it was just a decision, like a poor decision after a poor decision. But, you know, in this episode, it kind of felt like they kind of grew up a little bit since we last saw them, even though,
who knows how long it's been. Maybe it's been 2 weeks. Maybe it's been, 6 months. We still don't know that gap. But I liked seeing them, and I thought that was really great. And, of course, Tim says McClunky, because why not? Maybe it was McClunky. I still laugh at McClunky because I love the fact that Favreau was trying to make that something in Mandalorian. Did y'all saw that little interaction? Yeah. He's like, he's upside down. What if Mando pulls out his gun before he shoots the light out? He says McClunky. And he shoots it. And Filoni's
hated that. Why on earth would you add that to A New Hope, though? Like, I was blown away by that. I remember watching that for the first time, like on Disney Plus, and that line happened. And I was just like,
I laughed. I laughed because I was like, of course they changed it again.
I had to rewind it, and I was just like, why? And then I don't know. I hope that's not the case because I just want to learn the history behind it. I want to know why, because no one's told us really why.
Who knows why they're going to keep changing stuff like that. But I have a strong feeling like in 3 episodes, we're going to find out who the sisters were talking to. It could be Bail, could be Andor. It could be Cassie at Andor. It could be anybody really that they're talking to. But anybody? You better shut your mouth. But it's just a better way for Star Wars to start pushing it, pushing the story forward. And all the stories are connected. And I'm loving that they're doing that they're giving us all this connective stuff to push everything together to at the very end of all of these episodes, we're all going to be like, dude, that was awesome.
And I heard that the second half of the season is supposed to get real. It's supposed to dive deeper and it's supposed to get darker. And
yeah, I sent y'all that TikTok. I don't know who said it, but it was there was an article that said the composers of Kevin the Bad Conner, Batch.
Yeah.
They said that they watched it and they cried at the very end, and I'm like, oh man. I mean, I have a feeling we're gonna lose a lot of the Bad Batch, and
I think we'll definitely lose Crosshair. I think he will.
Oh, Crosshair's gonna die.
Oh yeah,
I think he's gonna redeem. I think he's gonna redeem himself, but then he's gonna die.
Right.
I think Wrecker's gonna sacrifice himself to save everybody.
I love Wrecker. He's a great character. I feel like he is the heart of the Bad Batch. I think I love Omega, but honestly, if Omega wasn't there, it would be him being the real heart of the Bad Batch. So I could see them doing it. I could see them keeping Echo and stuff like that. But then you got to remember, if these characters were alive, they might be, in Star Wars Rebels with like Rex, Wolf, and Gregor.
Or we're gonna get that story that we've all kind of thought would happen, is they just go off into the sunset and they leave it all behind, and they're like, we're never, that's it, we're done.
The characters from the movie Rogue One ended up going in a sunset, but they all died because of the future.
Too soon.
That was way too soon. Hello, Rural Farm Boy. You got any questions for us, Rural Farm Boy? We're just having a nice Star Wars discussion. This is what we would talk about if we weren't recording. You know what I mean? Like, if David and Colin and I all called each other, this would just be the conversation we'd be having. So yeah, it's good that we're actually able to record our conversations.
So I was actually thinking about that topic because of at my wedding, I'm going to see like a lot of Star Wars people, and we're going to want to have Star Wars conversations. And at that point, my lovely wife will come up to me and she'll be like, you need to come over here.
Do your rounds, you psycho.
And something else I was thinking that we could do is that, for the wedding, is we could have a sabacc table, and we have like a giant thing of sabacc cards, and people could play like a giant game of sabacc, because of the whole like idea is like in the bubble of our wedding, it's going to be like you're entering into the world of Star Wars. Like we are having Darth Vader and a couple of stormtroopers walk around, and they're going to interact with people, so it's going to feel like you're at Galaxy's Edge, but it's going to be my wedding. And I mean, and then I was just thinking about this. I'm like, how cool would it be if you were walking around and there was like a people playing Sabacc and like you and people like, oh my gosh, like that's from Solo. And you sit down and you have someone, you know, talking about it. And I was actually going to ask James to see if he would be, you know, interested of maybe being maybe like the dealer or something like that. Maybe.
Nah, that's too much.
But yeah, so I was thinking about that idea. It would be pretty cool. Sorry to talk about personal life, but yeah.
No, we're all excited for your wedding and we're all looking forward to it. We're going to be taking pictures like crazy. I'm a little nervous by this Rural Farm Boy. My questions might not be show topic related.
Yeah, that's fine. That's totally fine.
Try this out.
Okay.
Can you see the comments, Khaled? Okay, yeah, just making sure. Okay, so before he asks us a question, there was something. Oh, yeah. So I remember seeing an article that they had done the color correction on Rise of Skywalker. If you haven't listened to that, like I said, last week's episode, go check it out. Or this past week's episode. It's really good. I went and I watched the Passana sequence with Rey doing the flip over. And you can tell they took out some of the vibrant new colors on Disney Plus. Because I had my phone, which I have the digital copy. I bought it before it went on Disney Plus. So the digital copy, if you bought it off of Apple or Amazon, is the original J.J. Abrams version of the movie. And then I put on Disney Plus's version, and you can see it. You can see how Disney Plus is a little bit darker than the actual version of the movie was.
Well, I think JJ is like famous for just adding weird lighting and colors in his movies, right? Because I remember watching the Star Trek films, and the lighting was just kind of like in your face.
Yeah. So watching that sequence, hold on, we'll answer your question in a second. But that sequence with Kylo Ren coming at Rey in the desert, there's two lights back here behind him that have no reason to be there, just to look cool, like. It reminded me of Star Trek, like where if you look on the deck of the Enterprise, there's all these lights and you're like, those don't make any sense, but it looks cool. But it doesn't make any sense that there's all these lights just shining right into the camera lens. And if you watch that sequence with Kylo Ren coming at Rey in the desert, there's two lights back there that just kind of shine really bright. And you're like, there's no point for those to be there, but I guess it looks kind of cool. But okay. Who is going to be your best Wookiee at your wedding? The one to roar and get the crowd to cheer.
I
can just see the wide.
You know a guy
right there. Yeah.
Yeah. Well. So here's the thing. You guys are laughing, but this is a serious thing. So I'm happy that I'm part of the 501st and I have these connections, and we are gonna have people from the 501st and stuff. And right now we're on the fence of having a Wookiee there, like of having Chewbacca there. So we'll have to see. I mean, we've got Chopper. We've got our ring bearer as R2-D2. Like he's going to be rolling down the aisle and then he's going to have the ring on top. And I just know like people who know me are just like, yep, that's about right. So no, I'm so excited for that wedding. It's going to be awesome. It's going to be everything we ever dreamed of.
How are you on the fence? You need to have Chewbacca there.
Well, listen, right now.
Oh, and he needs to wear the medal too.
Yep. And then like for the first time, Colin and Brooke Weaver and
just me. Y'all have to have medals though for no reason at all. Y'all have to put medals on. And then turn around so everybody can get that wide shot picture with Chewie somewhere there. You know what I mean?
Okay, like, that's so just the trust best. Me, I have written like down ideas of what we're gonna do when we're entering the reception. You guys will be impressed of what we got going on there. But yeah, no, it's gonna be exciting. It's in a couple of months, so.
So Liam just asked, do you guys think we get a resolution to the clone/stormtrooper crossover with more Tarkin? 100%, yes. Yeah, we're going to get that. We definitely got to get the explanation as to why Tarkin does away with the clones and goes to the stormtroopers.
Oh, no. It's not Tarkin. It's the Emperor being cheap. That is what's happening here.
He needs all his money to go to the Death Star. Like, that's what they, everybody was like, they built the Death Star, but it's not a problem. I'm like, aha, that is a problem. So he's spending all that money.
All the money went to the Death Star. But honestly, if they get the clones, or at least a battalion of clones, they would have, like, probably won the war. Like, they honestly probably would have won the war, and the rebels would have lost because of the clones were so efficient. And they pretty much were, you know, programmed, like it was in their genetics of being good soldiers. And when you recruit, you know, random people, you make it a couple of wild cards. And I mean, so, and that's where the Empire went wrong, in my opinion.
Because
not everyone was efficient and they just wanted numbers. They like didn't care how they got them. They like didn't care if they got proper training because clearly they can't shoot. So. Yeah.
So Liam, I think we're gonna get a very sad moment where we're gonna have all the clone troopers in one place, and then they're gonna deactivate them, and they're all just gonna just collapse.
Deactivate them, like blow them up, like genocide, like oh man,
or the chip in their brain is gonna shut down. Like it's gonna be freaking sad. So we have two questions. Both for Colin. Colin, how do you troop as a TK? Yeah, Colin, you're the most popular guy in the world right now. Colin, how do you troop as a TK? And then someone else asks, is R2 going to toss the ring to you like when he tosses the lightsaber to Luke? So let's how do you troop as a TK? Or do you troop as a TK? I think that's what the question is.
I do troop as a TK. I've been part of the 501st Legion for 3 years. And I actually wouldn't be part of it if it wasn't for David, because of he recommended someone for me to talk to. So David, thank you for that. And if you're interested, you know, private message me and I can help you out with joining, because being part of the 501st is so much fun. I'm part of the Great Lakes Garrison. Even though I live in Florida, I'm still part of the Great Lakes Garrison. To be part of a garrison, you have to troop at least once a year. So I'm getting my one troop in on June 19th because I'm flying back to do stuff for the wedding, and there just happened to be a day I was free. So I'm doing it there. And then something about R2 throwing the ring like he did in Return of the Jedi. Yeah.
So yeah, is R2 gonna like just go shh, and you gotta do a flip, land, catch it. No. Okay.
Not in the budget. Nope.
Have you seen that one meme where it's like Luke is like, okay, R2, I need you for something. What you got? He goes, all right, I'm gonna put the lightsaber in your head. Okay. Yeah. And then when the moment comes, you're gonna throw it out of your head, I'm gonna catch it in the air. And he's like, that's freaking
why don't just,
but he says another word, but he's like R2's like, that's freaking cool, man. Liam says, I see them all dying on Kamino. Yeah, Liam, I see something super, super depressing happening where all the clones are just going to like just fall down. They're all going to be dead. And it's going to be so sad.
Yeah. And I mean, and to be honest, like I kind of felt like we got a foreshadowing of it in the final episode of the Clone Wars, where all of the clones were in the cruiser like crashing down, like all of them got annihilated because of they were on strict orders, and that ship like really programmed them like, hey, like you have to do this mission or die. And I mean and they died in the end, and that was really sad. And I'm thinking that we might get something like that where I think maybe some of the clones will like kind of snap out of it and be like, oh no. And then they like, it's going to be a very sad thing because of these clones, you know, going back all the way to episode 3, when we first saw all the clones turn on them, I always thought like, how could these clones like just turn on the Jedi? Like and then later, like later it was developed into like the Star Wars universe that they were chips. So I don't think before 2005, when the 2000, I forget the year. I was too young to remember, but I just don't think that the chips were already in the story by then. I think they did get added into Clone Wars, right? Or am I wrong?
I think you may be right, but for me, when I first saw episode 3, when they execute Order 66, and how quickly Cody just goes fire, even though he was just having a conversation with him, made me realize they have the clones had no control. Like, and so I was always okay. I was never like, how could they just churn? I was always under the impression like, oh, they never had control.
Right, but the possibility exists that they could flip, and that's probably more so the reason why Tarkin wants to get rid of them as opposed to money reasons. So,
and we kind of saw that with Hunter and them, where like their chips didn't fully activate until you bang your head like for five episodes, and then it finally activates. So I guess that's the key. If you want something to work, just keep
hit your head,
hitting it. Yeah,
yeah. It also seems that the Empire or Tarkin doesn't really trust the Kaminoans as much as we maybe thought. And then we saw that. I guess it was Lamu Su who allowed them to escape in that one episode.
Yeah,
so
she may help them escape.
Yeah, yeah.
Can we talk about how awesome it was to see Ton Wee? Oh, I'm a former TK master. Oh, awesome. Well, sweet. That's cool. Oh, wow. He's got a lot of costumes.
What are those?
Ty,
Ty's Ty. That's what I am.
Ty.
Yeah.
TR and TB. I don't know, but I know they're,
Star Wars related.
Yeah.
I'm sure he'll tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm sure you're going to tell us there. We're not that cool. But thank you though. That's actually pretty cool. I could never do anything.
Yes, you can.
You can do a whole lot, James. We've been telling you.
There
for a long
are
time.
So many costumes that you could do. I think the word that you're thinking of is I don't want to.
No, I'm too short. I'm too short. But that's all.
Jawa,
it is.
Ewok, Yoda, R2-D2. Oh no, I'm just kidding.
So, okay. So what else do we got? Their desk could end up like switching.
The desk could end up like switching matrix, not like this. Bang, dead.
Huh. Oh, I see. I mean, well, no matter what happens to these clones, I think it's going to be depressing beyond all reason. And which is why I think they cried when they watched the ending of this show, because it's going to, I think it's going to be rough no matter what we get. We have confirmed that Bosk is going to be in the Book of Boba Fett.
Well, that's LRN is confirming Latino Movie Review. They're saying that they got a confirmation that Bosk will be making an appearance in the Book of Boba Fett. So, yeah, this guy.
Hey.
So I actually just recently watched a fan film that somebody made a couple of months back that I didn't know existed. Until a week ago, and I watched it, and it just got me excited to see character because we got more of him in the Clone Wars, and that was awesome to see him kind of have a bond with Boba Fett, and then in the later seasons we see him, Dengar, and Young, and kind of more of the teenage version of Boba Fett kind of have this relationship, so. I wonder if it's going to be on the lines of that, of where they're friendly with each other still, or it's going to end up, or if it's going to end up him being kind of upset I think some of the bounty hunters were upset at Boba, because of he got that bounty of Han Solo. So I think they might be salty about it, they might not be, but do you guys think that all of the bounty hunters are going to show up? Or do you think, maybe not IG-88 will show up and maybe not Zosk or anything like that?
I think once the word gets out that Boba Fett is back, I think everyone's going to come out. Because I think everyone's... So I have a feeling that everyone's going to be kind of mad at him for something, like you said. And I think everyone's going to want to try to kill him. So, yeah, now that the boss is back on his throne, I think it's going to start to get really intense. So it does make sense that... Aren't you a little short for a stormtrooper? That's not nice. But I think now that he knows he's back, everyone's going to come out and the show's going to get really, really awesome.
Don't put that on the screen. Take that down.
Who said that? I can't see the name of who said that. I'm going to look it
up. Find out right now.
Thank you, Tim. I appreciate it. Thank
who
you
was
so
it?
Much.
Tim Sites?
Tim. Yeah. yeah.
So I think... In Legends, Dak Rendar ends up going on a mission, and he ends up killing IG-88, and that was between the events of Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi. So if IG-88 doesn't show up, that would be a kind of a cool tie-in. And because it would get people thinking like, oh, like maybe Dash Rendar is canon, even though Dash Rendar is pretty much the, you know, off-brand version of Han Solo, and then a sidekick is a robot. So technically it's kind of like the off-brand version of Lando, because of Lando has a droid sidekick.
So I just had this amazing image of like the opening of Book of Boba Fett is like at the Mos Eisley Cantina or Mos Espa, I don't know. Either one, and everyone's just there chilling, and the door opens and Boba Fett comes in, almost like the opening of the Mandalorian, and everybody just goes like everybody backs up and he just walks up to the bar. Like, I don't know, like I think that would just be such a cool opening.
His new theme that they came out with for the show was amazing. I love the dun 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 dun, dun. Like I loved that because of, I feel like he's going to be more of like a, he will be more of a crime lord in this. Like he will be the new Jabba, like not, you know, a slug or anything, but
I think he's going to be the good guy. I have a feeling Boba Fett's going to be, I mean, you know, like he helped Din, I mean, mind you, just to get the armor back. But I think he has a different code now to how he, I think the, being in the stomach of the Sarlacc monster kind of messed with him a little bit. It kind of gave him a different perspective on life. You know what I mean? I mean, because it's not every day you get thrown in the belly of a monster and then, you know, you come out. But I think somehow that changed him in a way. And we're going to see all that. But yeah, I think Boba Fett's going to be a little bit different. A different Boba Fett than we're used to seeing in this show. What do you think, David? What are you laughing at over there?
I mean,
you always laugh at me. I don't know why, but
you... No, I'm not laughing at you.
I'm laughing with
you. I'll tell you later. Yeah, I'm not going into the Book of Boba Fett thinking I'm going to see one thing or the other. I was going to say, when he posed that question about Jon Favreau having all the scripts and everything done, this whole story written, I feel like he had the outlines from when he was a kid, because he's been thinking about that for years and years, up until he pitched the idea to Kathleen Kennedy for a Boba Fett film or TV show. And of course, she denied him because that was kind of already taken. We've talked about this before, where Josh Trank was going to do the film back in 2015, but then they decided not to have him directing. So, I mean, he's been thinking about Boba Fett ever since he was a little kid. And I think he basically filled out the story, filled out the outline, and I think we're going to get something really spectacular. It feels like we're going to get a lot of aliens. There's going to be very few humanoid type characters. Fennec Shand is going to be one of them, of course. But after her, I mean, I think we're going to see almost a very Cantina-esque type of show. Just a myriad of aliens and different species and new and old. And I'm super stoked.
Do you think that for the aliens, do you think it will be like, you know, like that proper costume, or do you think most of it's going to be CGI?
I mean, considering how much detail they went for Bib Fortuna, I think we're going to get actual people in costumes.
That is what I'm hoping for. Yeah.
But then again, Rodriguez is behind it, and Rodriguez is known to really use that digital technology crazily. So I think we'll see. But I trust all three of them, Ed Kennedy as well, to give us something really, really cool. And I think they know the fans want to see like actual people in suits. So I'm pumped for this Book of Boba Fett thing. I mean, I was really salty at first, because that means we weren't going to get another, you know, season three of The Mandalorian. But this is just like, it was something I didn't think was ever going to happen in my life. You know what I mean? Especially seeing Boba Fett come back at all. I never thought that was ever going to happen. And so it's awesome. And then I agree with Liam on here. I want the opening scene to be of the Book of Boba Fett to be how he survived the pit. Yes.
Yeah.
That is the one thing. I'm telling you, they got a two towers this thing. They got a legit have the camera go down the pit with him.
That'd be so great. Like,
try to get out of there.
And show all the other characters that fell in and getting digested. Yes. And oh my gosh, that'd be so awesome.
I
guarantee if they do that, then like, and the way that we'll know is like they will have like an actual warning on the screen, like saying, hey, you know, this is kind of scary and not for everyone or something like that.
This is going to get really gross.
this is not for claustrophobic people, because I guarantee people will be like, oh God, no, because of like, of just being in that type of situation. But something that I hope that they do is that one episode is a flashback episode, and it shows more of the origin of what we would have gotten the Clone Wars if Disney didn't get the rights to Star Wars, which is like the origin story of how Boba Fett got the dent in his helmet. And that's between
Cad Bane and Daniel Logan.
Great way to bring back Daniel Logan.
And Cad Bane.
And Cad Bane live action. Yeah. But yeah, if Daniel Logan is announced that he's in, you know, like that, everybody would just be like, yes, like it's all making sense. Like, of course,
Daniel Logan has been trying to be part of Star Wars since like Disney got the rights back, like since 2015. Like, he has been knocking at Disney's door. I know people were making that joke about McGregor like acting like he was knocking on Disney's door, even though he knew. But I think Daniel Logan is actually knocking on Disney's door because he really wants to get back into that world. And I mean, fans would love it, because if he is great with fans, like he is a phenomenal actor, and he loves what he does, and he loves that he was part of Star Wars, like even if it was in that small way in Attack of the Clones.
Yeah, he does live streams on Facebook, and he's asked questions about if he's involved. And it almost feels like he gives that answer where he can't really give a comment, and it's serious. Like, he's actually somewhat involved, and he knows stuff. I mean, either way, I know he's friends with Tamir Morrison.
Yeah.
So he might have special intel there.
Yeah. I think he does know stuff. I think So my biggest thing was when the Solo trailer came out, and I think it was one of the final scenes where like the Falcon was like flying. I remember Daniel Logan posted, you know, a cloud that looked like Slave One, and like he was trying to like convince people that, you know, oh hey, maybe Boba Fett's in here, and he did like the winky face, and I just was like, bro, man, you really want to be in Star Wars again? So I would love to see Daniel Logan. Yeah. I like honestly would love to see Daniel Logan like come back as young Boba Fett and then do like the origin story with Cad Bane and stuff. And they honestly could just do that like arc that they were going to do in the Clone Wars, because if they like wrote the script and everything to it, just put it into live action and boom, you're golden. You have an episode.
There you go. That's true.
Yeah.
Do you think we're going to get hold on, wait. If the reveal for Battlefield goes good tomorrow, any chance for another Battlefront?
Oh, I know what he's talking about. I can see it happening. I can see it happening. So with Star Wars Battlefront 2, they were in the they were working on adding more stuff. Like they were about to add Ahsoka, they were about to add Ventress. And then DICE kind of shut that whole thing down, and they were like, hey, like we need to focus on other games. And then as soon as that happened, no joke, like for a year, Star Wars Battlefront 2 had more players than they ever did when the live servers were up. And that sent a message to them. And right now, Battlefront 3 is in development. There have been leaks there of the title and behind the scenes stuff. So it's happening. We just don't know when. But the main focus of that game is going to be it's going to be Ahsoka and Coruscant. Like, those would be the main focus of the game that would be like in the first season. So we'll have to see when that happens. I am expecting something soon about the next Star Wars game, not Star Wars Battlefront 3, but like of the open world stuff. Like, we'll like probably get a teaser trailer for that. And I know there's that the new Mandalorian game was also in development as well. So there's a lot of stuff.
What about Jedi Fallen Order 2?
That was, we really haven't heard that much about it. I mean, they haven't 100% confirmed that game's happening, but that game was such as like the first one was such a success. So that's a no brainer.
And yeah, and I think it's a foregone conclusion. It's going to happen.
Yeah.
I mean, that and Battlefront 3, I think we're going to get it, but
yeah,
I mean, it's going to take some time.
I was just mad that they, you know, stopped adding stuff to Star Wars Battlefront 2, because that game is amazing. Like, I talk about it all the time, because it's such a great way to live out your Star Wars action adventures. Like, of of going on Tatooine and just playing with like your squad of friends, and then you're like, no, look, it's Luke Skywalker, and he comes in and just force pushes you, and you're just like, what's going on? Like, you know, we dreamed about doing that as a kid. I've just noticed my room's getting really dark, and I have a light.
Yeah, I was about to say, hey, Colin, do you have a light there, buddy? Can you get that going?
Hang on 1 second.
All right. So anyways, now that he's gone, we could talk. But, you know, one time Colin and I did play Battlefront together, and it was – Colin, I'm telling you about the one time you and I played Battlefront together.
Oh, yeah, that dude. One night, you get so intense when you play.
We were yelling. You're like, Jesus, Jay.
No, so we were playing Ewok Hunt once, and I think it was one of your first times playing it. And I just remember you being like, okay, so I'm a stormtrooper. What's the point of this? I'm like, you don't want to get killed by an Ewok, and you were walking and you got killed instantly. And then I remember you being like, oh shit, like like you were so intense and you were so into it, and you're like, Colin, I apologize, but I get into gaming. Like when I game, I am gaming. And I was like, I get the same way.
It was a lot of fun. I'm glad we didn't record it, because everybody would have been like, y'all are kind of terrible. Like, yeah, we're like, pretty geez, bad. Bro. Yeah. But anyways, so there were other news. We have notes, actually, guys. We're trying to stick to this thing.
It's called Star Wars stuff, not Star Wars script.
So Michael Waldron, you jerk, would like to have C-3PO with a new Feige produced Star Wars film. And also there is word Feige is going to bring in a big actor to lead his Star Wars film.
Kanye West.
So, I mean, thinking about Kevin Feige, he's working with some of the biggest, he's made some of the biggest actors in Hollywood because of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. Who do you think this big actor is that he could bring in?
Chris Evans.
I mean, that's the one name everybody keeps saying, Chris Evans. Well, he's a big Star Wars fan.
Yes.
So,
and he's got a Rian Johnson connection too.
This he does have a Rian Johnson has been kind of predicted for a while, and I know that that this certain actor said that, you know, that no, I'm not going to do it, you know, like I haven't been approached by it. Benedict Cumberbatch is Thrawn. I could totally see them doing it. No. I could see them doing it, but at the same time, like it's a no-brainer to bring back the, I can't think of the names of the guy's name, but David's gonna know it right away, is the actor that voiced him in
Mikkelsen.
Lars Mikkelsen.
Lars Mikkelsen.
That honestly is a no-brainer. Like to play Thrawn. What's so great is like they have the opportunity to bring these voice actors and have them play the live action. Kevin Feige has a full plate. What do you think his movie will start filming? Feels like
Well, because okay, so we got to look at this. There's a weird timeline happening. So Taika Waititi just finished principal photography of Thor last week, which means he's going to be doing post-production all the way until probably December of this year, which means starting next year, 2022, I forgot, we're already 2021. In 2022, we're going to start to see stuff from his Star Wars. So that Star Wars movie is going. Rian Johnson is still doing his two Knives Out sequels, so he's not going to be starting on Star Wars until 2024, probably.
I know, but is that still happening, though? Because I think it was the week before we went to Star Wars Celebration, 2019, and I just remember we like did a podcast where we were like, hey, there's rumors that Rian Johnson is going to show up, and he's going to talk about this trilogy, and that was in 2019. It's 2020. Is it 2021?
It's 2021. Yeah. Okay. I just did the same thing. You did.
Yeah.
So I believe that was 2 years ago. 3/16. Yeah, it's happening until they say otherwise. I think it's still happening. And I've been saying it since the beginning, which is he knows how long it takes to do a Star Wars trilogy. So I think he wants to do his own projects. And he just got one of the biggest deals any director could get in Hollywood right now for Knives Out. Yeah. Him, Ram Bergman and Daniel Craig just got what? How much? It's like $100 million each.
Yeah, that's insane. I mean, he said he doesn't have to do anything for the rest of his life after this.
Yeah, he's doing pretty good. So I think he wants to finish his stories before he jumps into Star Wars. As for Kevin Feige, I mean, he's producing all of these superhero movies coming out, all the Marvel movies coming out.
Oh, he is.
But I Marvel? Think somewhere, like maybe 2024, maybe you're right, 2025, we might start to hear about Kevin Feige's movies, because if I'm not mistaken, Taika's trilogy, which he's not going to direct all three of them, but his is 2022. What is it?
Taika's doing a movie, not a trilogy.
Yeah. I know. I that's what I said. He's not doing the whole trilogy, but he's starting the trilogy, is what I'm saying. So that's going to be. Isn't he starting a trilogy?
No. It was the Game of Thrones guys that were going to do a trilogy at first, and then they moved down to one movie, and then they just got cut because they signed a big deal with Netflix, kind of like Rian Johnson.
So Taika's not starting a trilogy.
No, he's going to do standalone film, just like Patty Jenkins is going to do Rogue Squadron. That's going to come out.
So we're not getting that trilogy at all. I believe.
Not from Taika, not from anyone that we're aware of, except for Rian Johnson, allegedly. So,
well, we'll see. I've always been under the impression that Taika's trilogy, or Taika's Star Wars, was starting the trilogy in 2023, 25, and 27.
Well, if it's like ridiculously successful, yeah, it could start a trilogy, but I don't think that's the plan for right now.
So I think what Lucasfilm should do is I'm dead serious about this. I think they should have a contest to see who can write like a really good script, like the best script, and that script will never go to the public, and it will go to Lucasfilm, and then they pick that contest winner, and then that ends up being the next Star Wars movie. I think that's what happens, though.
In reality, I think that's what happens. Really? Kathleen Kennedy gets all these pitches, and it's tough to get to her desk. John Knoll, of course, got to her desk because he's John Knoll. He works in the building. Yeah. But he had to create a meeting and set a date with Kathleen Kennedy to pitch Rogue One, and she loved it. And I don't think... I think she gets a ton of great stuff pitched to her, but it's up to her if she loves it, if she's willing to do it and spend her time on it. So I think it really ends with her. I think that's why it's such a great thing that Dave Filoni is now the executive creative director there. I mean, he's going to have way more influence to stuff I think us as fans want to see.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I just think that like, if it was like a public thing where they made like a public announcement, like saying like, hey, if you want to enter, it's like $10 or something. And then that money goes to Make-A-Wish Foundation or something. So then they can bring more people in and they can make money for charity. But then, you know, you get all these Star Wars scripts and they're up in the air, because I think there are so many ideas. I know, David, James, you both have amazing ideas for Star Wars projects and Star Wars movies. And I know there's other fans out there too. Like I guarantee, you know, if people like, you know, maybe like Star Wars Theory and a couple of other people just came into one room and just talked and kind of came up with a story together, what the fans really want. Not saying Lucasfilm doesn't give what the fans want, but like, I just think there's so many people outside of Lucasfilm that have great ideas that would be like, that would make a phenomenal Star Wars movie.
And I think it's eventually going to happen to where we're going to hit that threshold where it's going to be indistinguishable from what the fans make to what Lucasfilm's putting out. And we're going to get there sooner than later, because some of this fan stuff is getting really, really close to theatrical type of like quality. You know, I think it's going to happen this decade. I was predicting next decade, but I think we're going to see fan films comparable to what we see in the theater. And I don't know what's going to happen. Is Lucasfilm just going to sue them, or what's going to happen?
Because I mean, there's so many good fan films out there like that have been happening for years. And there was the new Stormtrooper kind of led one. It's called Bucketheads. Oh my gosh, that was incredible. James, have you seen it?
I haven't seen it yet.
You need to watch it. Like, it's honestly, probably
the best one.
Oh my gosh, so it far. Is phenomenal. They are doing episode 2. Like, props to those guys. Like, they put their heart and souls into that thing. Like, it's like, and it's not there's just the story, like the special effects are amazing. Like, it's fantastic. Like 100%.
Yeah, some people are just creating the best stuff ever right now. They're not even working for the industry. They're just doing it like David says, like in their house on their computer. They're like, here.
They're doing it for fun. They're doing it for fun. And that's so cool to me. And like I said, you know, there are so many people that have ideas like for Star Wars projects, but they don't have the funds or anything to make a fan film. And, you know, maybe a contest like that would be an awesome outlet for them. So I think that's something Lucasfilm should do.
So this is what needs to happen, Colin. We're in the 501st. The 501st needs to put out a call for everyone to almost have like our own our own like type of gathering, like a celebration almost. But we're going to work. We're going to make our own film and pull in all the resources of all the 501st. Have a specific date. Have maybe like a week or two. We all get together. We all shoot something. Everyone's got official costumes. I mean, we can get this done.
I know. I mean, and some members of the 501st have fulfilled that dream because they got to be in The Mandalorian.
Right.
Like, that is cool. Like, that is cool to say that I don't have a screen accurate costume. I have a screen used costume. And some of these people made these costumes. And that's so cool. Something would be. Yep. I agree.
Yeah, you might get kind of, I don't know. I like that idea, but at the same time, you might get some crazy, like, you know what I mean?
Well, I mean,
but then again,
they don't have to pick the ideas. For example, if like I submitted like a Max Rebo fan film, you really think that they're going to be like, well, you know what? That is a 3-picture deal. Let's do it. I mean, I personally would choose that, but I think if it was like, you know, it was Pablo, Kathleen, and someone else that like were in a room and it was a contest and it was like three judges. And they were like, you know what? This is the best script. Let's do this. And they would make an official announcement saying like, this is the next Star Wars film. And then the next movie, like that would be pretty cool if it is something in the lines of that.
Yeah. Well, they do fan film awards at Celebration, right?
Yeah, but I'm talking about like official, where of course the script would kind of get tweaked for certain audiences, but like where that would be like a movie or a show that will show up on Disney Plus or in theaters. Like I'm talking about that, like in that way.
That would be pretty cool to see. Yeah,
yeah.
Almost like going to Sundance and trying to sell your movie, but you're trying to sell it to Lucasfilm.
Right. And I mean, that would be a good way to, I mean, because of, and James knows this, like you can be the best at what you do, but like in the entertainment like business, but if people don't know who you are, you're going nowhere.
Yeah. So, nobody will ever notice you.
Right. So. And Lucasfilm Star Wars is a good way to get out there because no one knew who Daisy Ridley was. Until she ended up being Rey, and she became a household name, like because of those movies. So doing that kind of stuff is gonna bring those great minds that like don't have the funds to like, you know, do their own projects, to bring them out into the spotlight and give them the credit that like that they deserve. So I think this would be a good thing. I just thought of this. I've been thinking about it, but I'm like, if they did a costume contest, not costume contest, if they did a contest, yeah, that would bring people in, people from the outside that like aren't, you know, well known, but have, you know, great like Dave Filoni and stuff like that would be awesome, and it would be a great way to bring the Star Wars community together. Cause I guarantee there would be a bunch of creators that would be like, hey, let's team up. Let's make a script. Let's submit it. And it would just bring more people in. It would bring more people into the Star Wars community.
Yeah. Whoever is there at Lucasfilm, you just heard Colin give a great idea. Please do it, man. Cause that would be pretty cool though. I'm not going to lie. That would be pretty cool. But
yeah. Yeah, and don't worry, I won't be a contender. I won't submit Max Rebo or anything. Don't worry about that.
Oh, jeez.
Because you guys are already doing stuff with him. But
Jesus.
So yeah, going back to the story though that James brought up. So Michael Waldron, he's one of the creators of the new Loki series that's premiering in hours. He was asked in an interview who he would have in the Kevin Feige produced movie. he's been dreaming of having, and he right away said C-3PO. So if that's the case, I mean, that's going to connect to the Skywalker saga. But of course, and we don't know for sure if that's even going to happen.
Right, because it depends on the timeline. It depends on if they want to go back to the sequels, or they want to go back to the originals or the Clone Wars.
Right, and we know Feige's a huge OT fan. So
yeah,
I think he's right there with them. But yeah, it's kind of one of those things, just wait and see. And of course...
I just saw James put his finger up.
No, go for it.
Just don't lose your thought. Keep saying what you're going to say.
Okay, so yeah, I was going to say that in the comments here, I forgot who posted it, but he was asking if Kevin Feige has enough. He has enough on his plate. That's true. Kevin Feige is going to produce, not direct. So I think he could kind of be in that same kind of role that Kathleen Kennedy is in, because she's doing Indiana Jones 4 or 5. Yeah. And then she's overseeing everything else. It's Lucasfilm. So, I mean, he doesn't necessarily have to be as intimate as I think most people think he's going to be. Because, yeah, he's got TV shows. He's got movies. I mean, he's got park openings. I mean, he's got a lot of stuff on his plate. That's true. Well, but, I mean, he loves all this stuff. And he truly loves Star Wars, which it's incredible that he's involved in some capacity now.
And something I say all the time is that if you care about something, you make time for it. And Kevin Feige, you know, clearly, you know, cares about Star Wars, because how many sail barges does he have at his house? Like 100 or something?
No, more than that, like 200 to 500.
yeah. So, I mean, clearly this
sell me one
Star Wars. So,
Mr. Feige, can you just send me a sail barge? I mean,
So let me. So earlier you said Kevin Feige is a big OT original trilogy fan.
Yeah.
So do you want an original trilogy fan only, or would you rather somebody who likes it all?
Both.
To do. So, yeah. So Abrams has been on the record of not being a huge fan of the prequel trilogy.
Right.
He only likes the original trilogy. And there's things you see in the movies that you're kind of like, oh yeah, you could tell that he was not a big, he's not a big prequel fan. Like, he's only looking at the original trilogy.
Yeah.
Do you think that could have, like, I don't know.
Yes. It affected his films. Yeah, clearly. I mean,
stuff
like Anakin's banner that was hanging at Maz's castle.
He didn't approve of it.
It slipped by him.
He did not approve
of
it. And he really upset about it. And I think Ron Johnson was the same way too, right? Because of, there was supposed to be stuff about pod racing in The Last Jedi, and they ended up not putting that into the movie.
I don't know, but he referenced the prequel trilogy more than any of the others did.
Luke had dialogue where he said Darth Sidious.
Yeah, this Darth Sidious name was finally, like, I mean, they said it before, but it was like, oh my gosh, Luke knows who Darth Sidious is. It's not just the Emperor, it was Darth Sidious. And he explains the history of the Jedi. It's where you're like, oh, he's seen the prequels. That's good. You know, like, Luke Skywalker watched episode 1, 2, and 3. But it was just really shocking to hear that, you know, Abrams was like, oh yeah, no, I don't like the prequels. And in my head, I'm thinking, you need to like it all if you're going to write a Star Wars movie. Like, you need to have an understanding of how episode 1 begins and how everything that happens leads to this moment. And that's what Star Wars is. It's a continuing story. And I think when you got to Force Awakens, I think it was like, okay, this is a whole new, and that other stuff happened, but this is all a whole new story. And it was like, man, because if you watch the prequels to the original trilogy, that's the same story going through. You know what I mean? Like, that's the same. Everything just continues on, and you're just like, oh yeah, this is awesome. But when you got to the sequels, it was like, this is a whole new story. I mean, I know we talked last week. Do you think that Abrams mystery box approach to the sequel trilogy kind of hindered the story a little bit? But I don't know.
But yeah, it's kind of a yes and no type
thing. I remember reading the article where, like, which I know we've talked about it before, but where J.J. Abrams said, like, you know, we kind of went into the sequels with no plan, and that kind of just kind of goes back to, like, you know, he said, she said, because of, they, like, stated that, oh, like, we had a plan. Like, we totally had a plan, and Colin Trevorrow had a script, and everything was based off like all of these three scripts. And, you know, Ryan Johnson had a script and he trashed it and he wrote something else. So who knows what happened. But in the end, you know, J.J. Abrams had to come in and he had to do the last movie when it was supposed to be Colin Trevorrow. And that script is phenomenal. I mean, that movie would have been crazy.
Let me ask you this question. Would it have been so crazy for us to learn that Kylo Ren was Han Solo and Leia's kid before the movie came out? Or did that have to be a big reveal for the movie? Like, if in the promotionals they would say, you know, you would see Kylo Ren and like the son of Leia and Han Solo, now the mysterious Kylo Ren, blah, blah, blah. Like, would that have been like, oh my gosh, and we would have gone to the movie already knowing that, to try to figure out what led to him being that, or was that, did that need to be revealed in the movie?
So I had the mindset of going into that film of one of these new characters belongs to one of the original characters. Are one of their kids, and then like Snoke, you know, was like Han Solo, and I was like, oh, okay, you know, I didn't see that coming, but like at the same time, I was like, it makes sense. Like, I know a lot of people for a while were guessing the crap out of who is Rey, like, where is she from, and in the end, she belonged to original character, but it was Palpatine, and we were just like, what? So.
My question is, like, would it have been better if we just, like, when you see Luke Skywalker at the beginning of A New Hope and you see Darth Vader, you're just watching the movie. You're just like, okay, yeah, here are these characters, and that's it. Like, but with Abrams, I'm not knocking Abrams. Like I said, I like The Force Awakens. I like all of Star Wars, but I still critique Star Wars any chance I get, but I still love it. But it's like, ooh, who's this person? Ooh, we're going to give you just little hints here and there. And then, ooh, who's this person? We're going to give you hints here and there. Oh, she's really important, but we're not going to tell you how. I mean, would it have been better if Rey was introduced and the story played out the same way as, like, Luke Skywalker was? Or how, like, Darth Vader just shows up and Darth Vader is Darth Vader in the first movie with no connection to anything else?
I would have been upset in The Last Jedi if we found out who she really was. Like, I mean, like, of who, like, her parents or her grandparents were. Because then I would have been like, that's just, you know, copying even more of what The Empire Strikes Back did. And you want these films to kind of rhyme from where they've come from. But you don't want them to be a carbon copy. And that's what, you know, you already kind of got that sense from The Force Awakens, where, you know, they are going in and they're trying to blow up this like giant space station. And then you go to Last Jedi and there's walkers on a planet that looks like snow, but it's salt. So it's just like,
it's different.
You don't want too much of stuff from the original films. Like, you like want some of it, but you want most of it to be new original content. And if I found out that, you know, early on, like, especially in the second movie of this 3-episode arc, that, you know, who her parents were, I would have been like, come up with something original. Like, come on. And Ryan Johnson did come up with something original. It's just he went off the blueprint of what Star Wars is. And we won't go into that because we always have an argument about, you know, The Last Jedi. And I don't want that. I don't want this episode to be that. I want.
That's funny. But I want to argue. I'm just kidding. I'm just joking. But no, I just think about how, you know, Abrams, you know, approached the Force Awakens, the whole mystery, the whole, like, what's going on? Who's this? I know, because he said, and it's not Star Wars, but Star Trek, he said he regretted that they kept Khan a secret in Star Trek Into Darkness. He was like, he says, there really wasn't a reason for us to keep him a secret. We were just trying to make sure nobody knows. But he says, but in the end, it didn't really matter that you didn't know who he was. And you're like, yeah, I kind of see what he meant by that. And so I'm thinking, like, was Kylo Ren kind of the same way, where it was like, was there a reason to keep him just this huge secret? And then you get that close up of Snoke where he's like, Han Solo. You're like, oh,
nice.
Okay. Yeah, exactly.
It's and like, I was nice. Like, all right, what's next? Yeah.
So I mean, I liked it. I like the secrecy. I like the mystery. Yeah. I mean, I like not knowing, but of course, I was trying to look at everything online and figure out stuff. But I mean,
I'm with you.
It's cool to have secrets and to have them revealed, and you get to hear like audience gasp. I mean, it's fun. I mean, it's just kind of a part of movie making now.
I do remember when David and I saw the Rise of Skywalker, and they ended up doing. I mean, and that experience was pretty cool because of I just kept every single time like something happened, I would look because if David was behind me, I would always look at David and be like, David, and he's like, I saw it, and I'm like, okay, and then I would turn back, and I just remember when Kylo was like, hey, you are a like your dad's like. Your like grandfather is Chief Palpatine, and then the audience was just like, wait, what? And I was like, didn't see that coming. I don't know how I feel about it, but you know, we'll see how it goes. And I mean, and in those moments, like you like always get mixed reactions. Like you're not gonna please everyone, and that's what all these new Star Wars projects have done is like it's not pleasing everyone. Even though episode 4, you know, all the way back in 1977, it pleased everyone. Like I have not heard any complaints about A New Hope. Like try and find something wrong with it. You can't because it's perfect. And I mean, but then, you know, in the later years with these movies, you were trying to just get to like different parts of the Star Wars like fandom. And you can honestly tell what George Lucas has done and what these new creators have done. But they still try and go off that blueprint. And with The Last Jedi, it was completely off. And that's why you had like a lot of the fandom not being on the same page with it, because it wasn't what they thought it was going to be. Because sometimes Star Wars can be predictable, and Rian Johnson made it like 100% not predictable. And a lot of people didn't like that.
Yeah.
But yeah.
I liked it. But
well, I know.
Going off of what you said though, like, you know, when A New Hope came out, there were people who didn't like it. Like there were people who were like there's a lot of critics who Grandma. Didn't like it. Like even Marsha Lucas was like, this isn't the best thing you've done, George. Like she's been on record saying that. Like that wasn't like she wanted him to be doing what Scorsese was doing, what Coppola was doing.
But it's Mind different. You, that's the great thing about it.
I know, but I'm just saying that there were people back then who were criticizing it and who still to this day criticize A New Hope. And then when you got to Empire, a lot more people criticized it too. And then when you got to Return of the Jedi, Star Wars was kind of not like if you look at the reviews and the ratings, when it got to Return of the Jedi, it was bad. Like it went from like the 90s to like 90 to like 50 something, because Return of the Jedi, everybody was kind of like, what happened to the trilogy? Us as fans are like, it's complete, it's real, we saw it all, it's amazing. But at the time, people were like, what the hell just happened? Why did the trilogy in this way? That didn't make any sense back then.
So that's really weird, because honestly, like I'm being honest here, I've never met anyone that like, you know, that like semi, you know, isn't a big fan of Star Wars or whatever, that has any complaints about A New Hope. They always either complain about Phantom Menace or Return of the Jedi out of like of those original movies. Those are the movies they complain about. I've never heard anyone say, I think A New Hope sucks. I've never heard that. I've never heard them say that. And
I have one friend who says that.
Well,
yeah, James, but you're friends with everyone, James.
But no, I have a few friends who say like the first one's not that great, but they prefer the other ones, you know. So
that's it's crazy. Just Star Wars,
it is crazy.
It started it all. If that film didn't exist, we would not have a bunch of characters that we love today. So those people who don't like A New Hope, I would love to know why you don't like it. I hear you, James, saying like, oh, hey, like these people didn't like it. What are the reasons? Like,
one of my friends did you not says like the George cantina? Lucas, of course not. Like, I'm just kidding. One of my friends says George Lucas can't write dialogue, and that makes me laugh.
There's so many good one-liners. Like, are you kidding me? Like, may the force be with you. Boom. Like, I mean, come on, man. Like, can somebody get this big walking carpet out of my way? I mean, come on.
No reward is worth this.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like Han Solo. Like, I mean, that Harrison Ford was a carpenter, and they turn him into an actor. I mean, come on. Like, this is genius.
I love George Lucas's direction to Harrison Ford. Remember what he would say? Like, he would be like, "So how do we say this?" And George Lucas would be like, "Just say it. It's
yeah,
on the page. Just say the line." Yeah. They're like,
"It's okay, and I mean, and I know that I'm ranting, and it sounds like I am kind of attacking James, even though I'm just, it's not like I'm saying, James, like, why do you not like A New Hope, man? Like, come on. I'm saying to the people, like, I want to hear real reasons. Like, I know there are some people that are just saying that, oh, I don't like it. Why? I don't know. Like, I mean, I want real reasons. So that,
you know, what's, crazy. There's people who don't want to watch Star Wars because they think it looks old. Like, I've heard that one before. And that one freaks me out. I'm like, it's not even that old.
It's a long time ago in a galaxy far, far away. I mean, come on.
Yeah. Who
cares? I like also hear the other one I hear is that, oh, yeah, I don't want to watch it. Why? Because it's mainstream and I don't watch mainstream stuff. Even though they want to watch it, they're like, since it's mainstream right now, I want nothing to do with it because it's
well, but I love that. The Marvel movies. And I'm like,
right. And I'm just like, Marvel is crazier than Star Wars right now. There's like 17 projects coming out, but you don't have time to watch something that a lot of people like. Yeah, I just.
But no, and then the other one was, aren't there like a lot of them? I'm like, there's 9 movies. I thought there was more. I was like, 9 main movies, 2 extra ones, but just 9.
That's too much. But I'm gonna have like a 20-hour marathon and watch all the Marvel movies.
But then somebody was like, aren't they like super long? I'm like, there's not one Star Wars movie that's over 3 hours long.
Those people are so edgy.
Yeah, they are so edgy.
Yeah. Because there are different, parts of the Star Wars fandom of just like the Clone Wars and just like the prequels and just like the sequels and people who just like The Last Jedi and then they want nothing to do with everything else. And it's I'm not jabbing at you or anything, James. I'm just saying. But but what's great though is that all of these different groups are all connected by the same thing, and it's Star Wars, and that's what we have to remember. That without that first movie that came out in 1977, even though it's old and it's it's boring, it brought everything together. So if you are out there saying that A New Hope is not your movie, just rewatch it, because it's what brought everything together. I saw James's face and he thought it was gonna say something
I went to go buy a suit the other day and I wore my Grogu shirt and had my Star Wars hat on. No, this is for those pictures on my Facebook if you'll see them, but and I wore my Star Wars hat, my mask, my Grogu shirt, and this guy was like,
"You're out now."
No, it's just a picture of me in a suit on my Facebook page.
Oh, really?
Like, it's the one of me in the pool. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I haven't seen it.
It's on my Facebook. Just go to my main page. You'll see it in the background. Maybe if I didn't change it already. Are you going to show everybody that picture right now?
I can. I see Indiana Jones stuff. I see you and your wife.
It should be like my main picture, my background picture.
Your cover photo?
Go to the top of my page.
When you're in the pool?
Photo. Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize you're wearing a suit in there.
Thank you. But anyways, so I
went to clarify. Look at that guy.
Can't even see it. But so they're getting the suit, and the guy goes, "Hey, you big Star Wars fan?" I'm like, "Yeah." And we start talking about Star Wars, like a good conversation about Star Wars. And I was like, "Hey, yeah, dude, I like this. I like this. What you think about this? Oh, I loved it. And blah, 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 blah." And then at the very end, he was like, "So what's like your favorite? Like, what are your favorites? Which ones are your favorites?" And I was like, "Well, I like Empire Strikes Back and The Last Jedi." And he goes, "Nope, nope." And the conversation stopped. And I was like, "Jeez, dude." He goes, "Have a good day." I was like, "You too." And I took my bag and walked out. I was like, "What the hell just happened?" Like, he thought I made fun of his family or something, you know? But I was just, he's like, "What are your favorites?" I was like, "Oh, I like the Empire Strikes Back, Last Jedi." And he was like, "Nope, nope."
Well, I mean, so I've had those encounters too, but I mean, but when like people are like, oh, like you don't like it, why? I have a deep conversation about it, like, you know, yeah, like it's not hostile or anything. It's just, you know, not every Star Wars project is going to be, you know, like the favorite one. And yeah. Actually, you know, I kind of like how we're talking about this, because some people are under the assumption that Star Wars fans love every single Star Wars project that comes out, and that's not always the case. And we've always got, you know, different groups like certain things part of the Star Wars fandom, and that's totally okay. You are allowed to have your favorite, and your favorite doesn't have to be someone else's favorite. Like, it's totally fine. But don't, you know, go every bully. What?
Do you know what everyone loves though?
The Mandalorian.
Yeah, the Mandalorian. Mandalorian got everybody, yeah. Dude.
Oh yeah, no, I really haven't heard anyone say, you know, really poor things about that. Like, I think that that's kind of bringing in all audiences, and also with original characters that are showing up in the show, like Ahsoka, people are like, oh, like Ahsoka's great, and you know, some of those people, you know, have been saying like, oh, like Clone Wars is a TV, is like a kids show, and then they see Ahsoka show up in Mandalorian, and then people are like, I want to see more Ahsoka. And then you're like, well, go watch the Clone Wars. And they're like, okay, I'll give it a shot. And you're like, wow, like this character has developed. Like this character came from a cartoon. Like that's crazy. And I mean, one of my friends, that's what's great about, yeah, it's crazy.
He was like, Star Wars made me, like, pointed a gun to my head and said, you have to watch Clone Wars. Like after that episode of Mandalorian, he was like, I have to watch Clone Wars. I put it off for so long. And he watched it. He loved it. Okay, somebody just asked us the hardest question I've ever seen in Star Wars right now. Do you think Anakin brought balance to the Force in Revenge of the Sith?
Oof. Okay.
Revenge of the Sith, or he brings balance to the Force in Return of the Jedi, though.
Right.
Supposedly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
But then Rey comes in, and you got Kylo Ren, you got the Emperor, and then it was like, did they just undo that in The Rise of Skywalker?
Right. And I mean, and that's what I had a lot of fans talking because of. They like, so
they threw away the chosen one,
yeah,
prophecy,
right? And I mean, and in Legends, they like did do that where the Emperor did come back and there was like a bunch of clones of him and stuff like that. And a lot of people were saying the same thing, like you're saying now, where like, oh, hey, it kind of ruins the prophecy of him being the chosen one because, you know, he's still alive and, you know, the Force isn't balanced anymore. So,
well, I mean, the prophecy didn't say forever, it just says he's going to bring balance. So,
for 5 minutes and then boom.
For 30 years and then it goes right back.
Yeah, so I mean, that's a good point, David. Yeah.
It is a good point, David, but at the same time, it still makes me mad that Vader was like the key. The Vader Anakin is the key to everything.
And so, have we actually seen, like, have we actually read the real prophecy? Like, is there a document that actually states of what that prophecy is? Because of, I've got this book called the, it's like the Jedi Handbook, and it's called The Path of the Jedi. And it's got like this, like, it says the prophecy on it. And then there's just black lines like crossed out like of the entire thing of what the prophecy is. So I don't think we know exactly what the prophecy has actually said. And I'm very curious because I've never heard of what the real prophecy states besides of, you know, the chosen one will come back and bring balance to the Force. Is there more to it that they left out of the film that maybe they've been saving for years, or George Lucas wanted to add more mystery to it like he did with Yoda, where we don't know his species or origin? Huh. Mic drop. I can't drop my mic because it's expensive, but...
So I know that there's like in Master and Apprentice, the book, the Qui-Gon did talk about it. So we have comments. Hold on. Yoda said they might have misunderstood the prophecy. Could Anakin have brought balance as Vader and fighting against the light side of the Force instead of defeating Palpatine?
We don't know because we haven't read the prophecy, man. So, yeah. I would love to see, like, the actual like thing of the prophecy. Like I'm curious if George Lucas actually like written like he actually wrote down what the what the prophecy exactly said.
I don't think he did.
No,
I think he, there's a reasoning why he made it the chosen one. He made it the chosen one while he was writing episode one. So
yeah,
I don't want to break anyone's hearts, but when he was writing episode one, he was like, Anakin was the chosen one because there was a prophecy. He typed it up and there it is. But for me, bringing balance to the Force meant like, because when the Sith are there, the balance of the Force is off. But then once the Sith are gone, then everything kind of rights itself up. Like, you know what I mean? But then balance would be there's good and there's bad. And that's the balance of the Force. So, I mean, it's a prophecy and it's a saying that I still don't think all of us are 100% like know exactly what the right balance of the Force is.
So I actually heard the explanation of the balance of the Force, and it's kind of a misstatement when you say balance, because you think you have one of something or two of something, then two of something on the other side. But no, it means wiping out the Sith completely and just Jedi. That's what the balance is. Okay, so no evil, good only. That's what the balance of the Force means.
So in Return of the Jedi, Anakin brings balance to the Force by throwing Palpatine off the thing.
Vader throws off Palpatine, and then Vader turns to the light side. So then there's no more Sith.
Yeah. So then, yeah, therefore he did bring balance after.
Right. He brought balance. Anakin. Yeah.
So then when we get to The Force Awakens, there's been an awakening. There's the Force.
The Force Awakens, the light and the dark side. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just so go back to sleep. Just go back to sleep.
and then when so that's, I could understand that. Like that, I get that. I get the whole Kylo Ren, Ben Solo, and then you get Rey, and then that's it. But then when you bring in Palpatine, it's like,
yeah.
So did Vader do it or did he not do it? You know, like, and then that's where the argument starts as to if it worked.
Well, yeah, he did it, but then dark magic and weirdness happened.
Well, yeah. So
Palpatine came back.
So recently,
somehow Palpatine came back.
Recently there was a new Star Wars comic that came out that explained the origins really of Snoke, because of during the events between The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi, Vader goes to Exegol and he does confront Vader. And when he's walking there, we actually do see the Star Destroyers that we see in The Rise of Skywalker. And we also see the tubes of Snoke. But then Vader doesn't question about it. He doesn't talk about it. They don't talk about it like at all. But you see them like in the background and stuff like that. I recommend the comic. It's the newest issue from the Darth Vader comic series.
And it's awesome. I read it. I read it as well. Yeah. That part, I was like, why didn't Vader just go like, what are these?
So,
what's going on
like,
with this, right?
like who is that and that tube? Don't
worry about it. Don't worry. We will talk about it in 30 years.
Like it's just and Anakin helped him out the window. Speaking of Windu, that is a good segue to what we should be talking about. So speaking about Mace Windu,
there is guy.
Samuel L. Jackson. Apparently there's a rumor that he is coming back to Star Wars in some capacity.
Man, he's been wanting to come back for the beginning, man. He's just, oh man. Have you seen his shirts that he wears on Instagram?
Yeah. I
want to buy every one of those shirts. So if y'all don't know,
go ahead. Oh, okay. No,
I was gonna say those.
How does this work? You talk, me talk.
No, James.
who talks first? You talk first.
I talk first. Yeah.
But James, go ahead. He has shirts where they are quotes from Pulp Fiction, but they are Mace Windu say them instead of his character from Pulp Fiction, and so some of them are not appropriate to say. But they are so great. I was like, I want those shirts. Like, I want to wear. I'm trying to bring up one of them right now. He wore it on May 4th. It was, here it goes. Correctamundo. And that's what we're going to be. We're all going to be cool, just like Yoda. And that's a quote from Pulp Fiction. And then today he wore one. It said, hand me my lightsaber. It's the purple one. The one that says bad mother. Of course, you know.
Yeah.
And Mace Windu, you know. So, yeah, he has these shirts. And I'm like, I want to wear those shirts. I don't think he sells them, though. I would totally wear one of those things. But Mace Windu coming back, How does he come back?
He will come back and he's going to try and hunt down Anakin because, you know, he's so ticked off that he got threw out a window. I mean, I would be pretty ticked off too, but I think a good way for him to show up. I know I would have loved to see him be the Jedi that showed up in The Mandalorian where like he comes through and like his face is like, you know, kind of scarred up from the lightning and like he's just blind through one eye and he's like, I'm like here for the child. Like, of just walking through. Or a good way would have been the Bad Batch. I think the Bad Batch would be a good way for him to come in because
and actually have Samuel L. Jackson be the voice.
That would be cool because actually, fun fact, a lot of people know, but in the Clone Wars movie, Sam Jackson actually did voice Mace Windu, but only in that Clone Wars movie. That's the only Clone Wars project that he was part of.
So yeah, there's been rumors for a long time that Samuel L. Jackson is going to return to Star Wars in some capacity. And we can go back as far as 2017 when we were in that room together, James.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the 40th panel where he did a video where
I was sitting right next to you. Wow.
Oh yeah, Colin was there too. He was sitting right in front of me. So yeah, well, I mean, he made a special video basically doing what Ewan McGregor said he wasn't doing. He was pining for a job. He was like, Kathy, I know you're in the room, let's make it happen. And I think the audience like cheered like crazy too. So I mean, he's primed to come back in some capacity. I don't know live action, but it would be kind of a stretch to see him come back in live action, I think personally, because I mean, did he just go into hiding just like Yoda did? I mean, that's kind of is that like a Jedi tradition? Is that something a Jedi would do?
I know there's a bunch of people that don't want it to happen.
You see his skeleton getting electrocuted while he's getting shocked by Palpatine. Same thing happened to Vader. Vader dies very soon after that. So
because fried his electronics, he couldn't breathe anymore.
Yeah. And not I mean, and shut your mouth. And we technically also saw that with Luke, I think too. I think we saw because it's something that he said like during that panel, like, hey, you know, there are people, especially Jedi, who get thrown out of windows or whatever from like long distance, and they survive. So, you know, Mace Windu being, you know, second to Yoda, you would think that he would be strong enough to survive. So I think it's possible. I think it's doable. Live action would be interesting because it depends on the project. It really, really depends on the project because, again, having people come back, you got to do it in a very natural way. Shut your mouth. Just start talking about Shaft.
Oh, beautiful. But I love that Samuel L. Jackson is like, I don't know. He just had like a new generation discovers him again, you know, with Marvel, you know. It was just so great to be like, hey, Samuel L. Jackson, he's back and he's not going anywhere. But Mace Windu coming back, I'm okay with that. David went on mute.
No, he's fine. He's fine. He's fine.
He's fine. He's
all
good.
Fine here. But, now, thank you. How are you?
How are you? But yeah, I don't know. Somebody said something earlier, but I'm not gonna talk about it. About the last
I'm gonna talk about it.
All
what
right.
Are you gonna say?
Let's see.
Let's what find that here? Comment.
Why is Max Rebo the best character? No, that's not in there. Let's see.
It was this comment.
Did they delete the comment? Yes.
First time on YouTube Live. Love your podcast. Thank you.
Thank you.
By the way, everybody, if whoever's listening, I can't see the numbers of who's actually listening to us. We are on Audible now, and
we have 1,566 people.
They're not watching us. Shut your mouth. But anyways, we're on Audible right now. So if you want to go to Audible, look up the Star Wars Stuff podcast and just give us a 5-star rating. That'll help us out as well. We appreciate that. That still makes me laugh. Just shut your mouth. Let's talk about Shaft. But we're on Amazon Music as well, which is pretty cool too. And it's free. You don't have to pay to listen to us, so it's free. And you know what somebody told me the other day, and they're probably listening, they're probably gonna get mad at me for saying this, but they were like, you know, y'all kept talking about, you know, Apple Podcast, and I didn't know what that was. And I've had an iPhone for years. And I was like, yeah. And he goes, I thought it was a part of Apple Music and I had to pay for it. And I said, no, it's a whole separate app that's free. Yeah. And then he said, when I went there, I was like, oh, I could, here it is. And he's like, I gave you a 5-star rating after that. I've been listening to y'all on Spotify. I didn't know.
Yeah.
You didn't have to pay for Apple Podcasts. So yes, you don't have to pay for Apple Podcasts. Just letting y'all know that.
Yeah. But, yeah. Cause I've experienced that too, where like, oh, I would listen to it, but I got to pay for it. I was like, no, I mean like for like Spotify you do, but for Apple Podcasts, like it comes free. Like it's just an app, like you download it. And when you type in our name, it should be like should be one of the first ones that pop up. Like it's right there.
Not trying to brag or anything, but we're kind of the first ones on Spotify.
Yeah.
But anyways,
Star Wars stuff podcast. What up?
What else? Yeah. What else? Do we want to argue about stuff right now? Or no. Oh, I found.
Yeah,
that comic.
James,
never
I got
mind.
A bone to pick with you, man. Yeah. Like,
what do you got?
I don't know.
You have to join the 501st, like, James.
Yeah, you do.
It's a requirement. It's soon to be a requirement to be a member of the Star Wars Stuff podcast.
For all members of the Star Wars Stuff podcast, because of Matt's almost there, Brooke's almost there, Sam,
Ray's
David,
there,
Ray, myself,
501st or Rebel Legion, and with a Jawa, you can be in both.
Yeah, like I mean, come on, think about it, man. Like you're just
that's so cool, James, to be a Jawa, even an off-world Jawa with the red eyes. That'd be cool too, man.
I would just walk around with the egg the whole time.
Yeah, yeah. So like I mean, something great.
I have the egg right behind me, actually.
No, you don't.
Yeah, dude. Want me to get it?
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. I'm serious. I didn't know you had that. I want to see it.
If he plays a joke on us, we'd be so pissed off right now.
Yeah.
He pulls up but his dog.
James, but I'm serious about this. I think you should, and the reason why is because of I joined, you know, knowing the fact that I was going to wear this awesome like suit, but I also joined because, you know, they do a bunch of great charity work, like for Make-A-Wish.
Yeah, I know.
And those great, and it's awesome giving back to something that has given so much to us. Oh my gosh, you got it! Wow.
Oh my gosh.
Check it out, and it opens up.
I didn't know that existed. That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it was one of the items I got from Celebration.
But see, James, you like wear that costume, do that, and I mean, and by then I should have my Mando costume, so I could totally walk around with you. Like it's worth it.
Oh,
I'm not
so
joking.
Good.
It's worth having a costume.
Can I offer you an egg in this trying time? Do you mean to tell me that? That if I go to Star Wars Celebration, y'all won't talk to me unless I'm a member of the 501st or Rebel Legion.
I never said that. No.
But see, here's the thing. We want you to be a Jawa because Jawas are cool.
And I also give you other reasons why like you should join. Like it really is awesome like to be part of it, and you also meet a lot of good people. Like I guarantee, like if you join the Garrison in California, man, there are a lot of good people down there, and if you're think about all the opportunities that some of the 501st members have had, like being in California. They've been able to go to Lucasfilm events because it's right there.
Nice.
And part
of them.
And there have been members that have been in The Mandalorian. I mean, like having costumes and being in a place where they film stuff, like that is like a good thing to be part of. Like I mean, it's charity, but also opens up a bunch of Star Wars opportunities. And
true.
I think it's a lot of fun. I do not regret it. I love my TK. It's so much fun, man. Hello. Facebook user.
That Mark. Mark Tolley. Hello, yeah. Mark. How are you? Yeah, thank you for joining us. You just heard us yelling at each other earlier, and Colin got mad.
I did not get mad. Sounded I like just think that mad. It's funny when like people talk about New Hope and you know how like people get like they don't like something and they kind of go on a rant of like telling you like, I don't like this and blah, 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 but they won't give you a reason why. And then you ask for a reason and they don't give you a reason. I have people like that come up to me like, I don't like Star Wars. And I'm like, oh, why? And then they're like, I don't know. And I was like, have you watched them? No. I was like, all right, well then go watch it. Like, don't complain about it if you don't like, have ever watched them. Like it's like just judging because of and especially with the Clone Wars, a lot of people for a long time thought it was a kid's show, and then people watched it for the first time and they were like, wow, this is pretty good. Like I mean, yes, it's a cartoon And yes, in the beginning, Star Wars was always meant for kids. Like George Lucas has said that Star Wars is meant for 12-year-olds. Like that's what Star Wars was meant for. But expanded to audiences and spoke to different audience. I mean, to different ages. And the Clone Wars was a great way to bring more Star Wars to life. And I think if we didn't get the Clone Wars, we might have not seen The Mandalorian because Dave Filoni wouldn't have been involved. So we see the early stages of Dave Filoni and through the Clone Wars, and it's worth watching. So if you ever think like, hey, you know, it's a cartoon, I shouldn't watch it, watch the first couple of episodes or at least watch the first season. Because in my opinion, I agree, you know, the first couple episodes are kind of iffy, but like once you get to the second season, it dives deep into more of the lore of Star Wars. And there's an actual arc in the Clone Wars where they talk about the Chosen One. I mean, and they go to a planet dedicated to it, and Liam Neeson comes back. I mean, and voices Qui-Gon Jinn for the show. Like, it's amazing. I highly recommend it. It's fantastic. So before you judge something, just give it a chance. I at least watch it before you're like, no, I'm not going to. No, no.
Like, yeah, I was anti-Clone Wars for a while because I didn't think it was for me. And then I watched it and I was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And I loved it. But I was.
It sounds
I
like
was
attacking that, James.
It does. But no, I'm just sorry. Agreeing with you though, because I was the same way. I was like, I'm not going to watch cartoon. Yeah. It doesn't have to, and my whole thing was it has nothing to do with Star Wars. Like I don't need to watch this to understand Star Wars. Yeah. How wrong I was. Like I watched it, I was like, oh my gosh, how do I not know this stuff? But yeah. But hey guys, y'all can keep talking, but I'm gonna have to go.
So well, before you go, James.
Y'all can keep talking though.
But, before you go, James, there's a better idea for a costume for the 501st. It's right here.
Oh no, you're laughing, but we're not kidding. That would be really cool to have, man. That honestly would be cool.
You guys are crazy. I'll think about it, okay? I got a lot of stuff happening in my life right now, and I got to do this thing.
Yeah.
But maybe when that is over, I could be like, okay, let me try to become a part of this. But okay. I was gonna say I'm very short, so it's actually quite limited. But I will think about it, guys. But hey, y'all can keep talking. But I gotta get going. Unfortunately, so
yeah. Well, I'm really sorry. I think we wrapped up, and I think this is one of our longest podcasts. So awesome, guys!
I think it's the longest ever.
Cool. Oh, there
we
you
did
go.
Pretty good.
There
minus go. Our we yeah. did a long one for the episode 9 review a while Patreon. Back. But anyways, yes. Check us out, Patreon. We'll have more of the Bad Batch commentaries coming for y'all. And please subscribe, help us out. And even if you just want to donate a dollar, that would also help us out so much.
Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, Facebook.
And thank y'all so much for being a part of this and for watching us just talk and have Colin yell at me for an hour and 50 minutes.
I wasn't attacking you. It just so happened that all of the scenarios involved
was
you
about
in some...
you, James. But but yeah, guys, thank y'all so much for being a part of this, and we'll be back with another awesome topic. May the force be with you
always.
Always.